Welcome to episode 16 of Dode Song. This is our close examination of the most important lyrics ever scribed. They were written by Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, on behalf of his beloved son, Dode. And in this psalm, he makes every declaration that is important to our knowledge of who God is and what he is offering, as well as what he is expecting in return, even how we capitalize on everything that is important in life, understanding the meaning of life, appreciating the way that we actually have been offered the opportunity to escape this tiny little blue marble that we live on that is spinning in the vast blackness of space alive. It is all here, presented for our edification in the 89th Mizmor, which I have dubbed Dode's Song. In the 15th episode, we ended with a recital of the following statement, and we'll reprise that here so that we retain our context. It reads, "Where is your unwavering love and enduring favoritism, which was expressed first and foremost in the beginning, while which you promised to Dode, the beloved, known today as David. In harmony with your steadfast commitment to being trustworthy and reliable, my upright one." Mizmor, lyrics to sing, Psalm 89:49. It has been a very long time since Yahweh inspired this song in year 3000, 968 BCE, as the cornerstone of his home for his name was being laid on the top of Mount Moriah. To the time that it was fulfilled was exactly 20 yobel or 4,000 years. But to the time that the world would come to appreciate Yahweh's unwavering love and enduring favoritism for his people that he was able to deliver through his son, Dode, 3,000 years would pass from the time these words were first scribed and sung to the time they would be fulfilled in our midst. You see, when Dode, when Yahweh sung this song to commemorate his love and appreciation for Dode David, he had ended his first of three lives 3.5 years earlier. And so this was to commemorate that life as the cornerstone of the home of his name, called a first temple. And it is all about what father and son would accomplish together. And this Mizmor is very adroit and referring to Dode as the son of God and Yahweh as his father, acknowledging that not only was Dode the Messiah, but that he was specifically anointed in that role by Yahweh, and that he was the firstborn, the chosen one, and the sacrificial lamb, the Zeruah, who fulfilled Pesach. All of this has been acknowledged here, including God saying, "I made a promise to Dode 7 times over." And that if you find any error in it, you can call me a liar. That he went and went on so far as to say that through Dode, he established the Bereth Covenant, which is the single most important thing in the universe. The only reason the universe exists, the only reason we exist, is to be part of Yahweh's covenant family. And it would be 1,000 years from the time that this message was first sung in year 3000, 968 BCE, to the time that it would be enabled. Exactly 20 yobel, or 1,000 years later, in year 4000, 33 CE, when Dode and Yahweh, working collaboratively, fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bekorim, opening the doorway to life, taking our guilt into Sheol, depositing it there, never to be seen again, making us perfect, such that he could sign our adoption papers into the covenant family on Bekorim, meaning firstborn children, this being accomplished by Yahweh's Bekor, firstborn son. And the reason that the question is being asked, where is your unwavering love and enduring favoritism, which was expressed first and foremost in the beginning, which you promised to Dode, is because God's people wrote both Father and Son out of their lives. They've erased Yahweh's name. They have disassociated the title Son of God and Messiah from Dode. There isn't a Jew in the world who is involved in, whether it be politics or in the areas of the of religion, who will acknowledge that Dode is the Passover lamb. All that Father and Son accomplished has hidden the fact that God is loving and he favors his Son and his people, even though this was expressed right from the beginning. And even that is telling, because in the creation account, the message of the fourth day is that there would be a greater and lesser luminary that would engage together to fulfill the Moed, which are these seven annual meetings to be welcomed into God's presence. You're reading about one, you're hearing it from the other. Dode is the one who is promised. He is the promised one. He is the chosen one. And it says, with your steadfast commitment to being trustworthy and reliable, God's going to follow through and do exactly what he said, because that is his nature. Now, having written the ultimate treatise on the Torah in his 109th Mizmor, Dode would have understood, as we have, that with the fulfillment of the first three Moed, the benefits of the Bereth would be assured. So he manned up, he gabored in Yahweh's parlance. To gabor means to be courageous, to be bold, to be strong, to be resilient, to fight the good fight. He was the ultimate gabor and volunteered to do the right thing for the right reason. His Bashar corporal body became the Passover lamb, as his Mizmor Bashar heralded the message that the covenant had now been fulfilled. It's extraordinary. We just finished a program on the seventh episode of In the Garden, where we came upon Bashar Bashar and came to recognize how profoundly prophetic that is, with the two who gave their physical bodies, Bashar, while proclaiming the message as to why they were doing so, Bashar, right there in the account of what transpired in the garden. And now we confront it again. So Dode's Bashar would serve as the Passover lamb, as his Mizmor, his songs, would serve as the Bashar, herald of what he and his father were accomplishing. The firstborn son was Bokurimd, living up to his title while fulfilling Chag Matzah. The covenant was now firmly established. Its benefits were reliably provided. Problem solved, except, oh my God, his people forgot God's name. They forgot that the Son had this special place in our restoration of this relationship with Yahweh. They forgot all about him. And by forgetting about him, they allowed the crude counterfeit of Jesus Christ to be foisted on the world as a lie, hiding the truth of what Dode David had done. And then even worse, rather than after the fact even acknowledging, yes, all of this was foretold throughout the Torah and the prophets and in the mizmor like this one. The father of rabbinic Judaism fought a lie with a lie and foisted another false messiah, Bar Kokhba, and his stupid six-pointed star on the people of Yisrael. Oh, the tragedy, the insult. For how long would the people be misled? Well, the answer was, it began to gradually change 23 years ago when Yahweh selected another Bashar, a herald, to reintroduce his name to his people, to reacquaint his people with all that he and Dod, his beloved son, our Messiah, our former and returning king, had and would accomplish on our behalf. You are witnessing the answer to that question. The Gabor of Yahweh would prevail. Given three lives, his soul saved ours. Heaven's door was open. Our relationship with Yahweh was reconciled. We were prepared to capitalize as standing grain upon the Shavuah harvest and the Teruah gleaning, and even the mortal remnant of Yisrael would benefit from the Bashar, the herald's body, preparing this mortal remnant of Yisrael on Teruah in 2033 for the Messiah and Son of God's return with his father Yahweh on Kippurim in that year. It was all presented. It was all explained. This gift was given, the Son offered on our behalf, so that we could be perfected, live forever, adopted, enriched, and empowered. Since he clearly understood what I'm sharing with you, Dod did, and so did Yahweh, I'd like to quote from my favorite prophet. What I'm going to read to you is the most misunderstood prophecy of all prophecies throughout the long history, the 1,000 years that Yahweh spoke through his prophets. It is the prophecy that was confiscated to give credibility to the crude counterfeit that is known as Jesus Christ. Never existed. This prophecy was always about Dod. It's Yahweh speaking through Yashaya once again to bring this message home so that we would embrace and benefit from his enduring love and favoritism. Like so many of the messages that I'm delivering to you, by design, the first time that they have been explained so that you might understand them, I might appreciate them, so you might capitalize upon them, is right now. That is why the Yahweh blog exists. This is why we turn on the lights, we activate the mic, turn on the camera, and ask you to invite us into your homes, into your lives, so that we can share what you need to know about God to be part of his family. I'm going to share now with you the most profound prophecy, the most meaningful prophecy, the greatest gift ever offered humankind. For indeed, a child was born before us. A son was provided as a gift and placed concerning us. I'm going to read this in sections, just sentence by sentence, because it is so profound. If I get to the end of it, we'll be miles away from the beginning of it, so that you have an appreciation for all of this, because every word here is a treasure. For indeed, key, because truly, emphasizing this statement while revealing an important contrast. A child, a yeled, a boy, an infant that grows up to become a man from Yalad, brought forth, was born, was conceived and brought into view through a woman, impregnated by the father of the child at a moment in time, pool perfect, passive, before us. La Anaknu. An ordinary boy. Was born in the ordinary way. This speaks of Dode's first life. We know his father, but his father is not much of a guy. It reminds me of my father. Before I was adopted by my heavenly father, Dode and I both upgrade considerably. My wife, Leia, the same thing. This is the beauty of the covenant family and us having Yahweh as our father is, you know, you come out of failed human families and are adopted into God's perfect family. So Dode was born initially the old-fashioned way, mother impregnated by his father. He was born before us. And Yahweh found him. He introduced his to us. He anointed him. He placed his spirit upon him. And all of this transpired in front of us because there is no person in human history. In all of human history, in ancient history, going back 3,000 years, there is no one that we know even 1,000th as much about as we know about Dode. God brought his life to us. Dialogue, narrative, place and time, relationship with Almighty God, warts and all with the rebellion against his people. It's all there for us. The heroism, the bravery, and the emotion of it, as well as the thoughtfulness. This was Dode in his first life. A son, a male descendant, then a masculine offspring, was provided as a gift. Nathan was given, was produced at a point in time, appointed and bestowed. La Anaknu, concerning us. The ultimate gift of God, excuse me, isn't actually life. He gives life to, you know, earthworms and rattlesnakes, trees, grass. It's not the ultimate gift. It's wonderful. Without it, you know, nothing else can happen. The ultimate gift isn't in this universe that we can observe and explore and enjoy. The ultimate gift isn't even the Torah, which is the owner's manual that tells us how to get the most out of our lives. Tremendous in its value. God's ultimate gift to us is the covenant family. And to establish the covenant family, according to God, he made it possible through his son. And so the gift of the covenant is the result of the gift of the son. And the son is named. He is the only person named in this profound prophecy. And his name is Dode. He is provided as our gift. Not only because he was the ultimate Bashar in the verbal sense who heralded so much of benefit, so much intelligently regarding life and the covenant family and the Torah and Yahweh, but because he was also the Bashar who offered his body so that the doorway to Yahweh's home, the doorway to life, would be opened on Pesach, and that we would be perfected so that we could enter through that door based upon what he did on Matzah. And we don't just enter as strangers. No, we enter as God's children, as his heirs, because of Bukhurim. This is the ultimate gift. The prophecy goes on. The opportunity to learn what can be known about how to engage and endure, in addition to the responsibility and the authority to lead. Wa Mishra. Sovereignty. From my to ponder the implications of, it's an interrogatory in Hebrew, and Sarah, having the power to exert oneself, to contend, to persist, and to persevere. I'll grant you that my definition of mitzvah is different than you will find in your average Bible translation. And that is because my renderings of every Hebrew word are based upon the root of the word. And one of the things I learned very early on is that ma and me, the two primary Hebrew interrogatories, are used as compound words, as a means of attaching a thoughtful introduction to something. You know, for example, kara is the Hebrew word for invite and summon, welcome and meet, read and recite, call out and proclaim. But it's mikra that designates the seven annual meetings with Yahweh, where we are called out to read and recite and are welcomed into his presence. The only difference between kara and mikra is the addition of the ma. And it's the interrogatory that encourages us to ponder the implications of something, to learn all that can be known about it. This is the same thing. It's Sarah. And since Sarah means having the power to exert oneself, to contend, to persist, to persevere, to endure, and to engage, Sarah happens to be the name of the mother of the covenant. That's why even the very name of Yisrael is Yisrael, individuals, Ish, who Sarah engage and endure, who are empowered by, who are enabled by, who are able to exert themselves and contend with and persist with and persevere with El, God. So the proper rendering of this word in an amplified translation, all of my translations are amplified because that is the best way to teach. It's the best way to convey all that God wanted us to know. I know Yahweh at this point better than anyone alive today. Maybe better than, in fact, not maybe, better than anyone over the last 2,500 years. And yet, I'm not to the point where I would say, of all the potential meanings that we can deduce from Sarah, when we ma Sarah, that I'm going to pick one out of the many. I think God intended the many. So I produce an amplified translation that convey the many and then explain the basis of that translation. Even providing you within the parenthetical, the root word itself, so that you could look up Miss Sarah and deduce its meaning. So the opportunity to learn what can be known about how to engage and endure, in addition to the responsibility and the authority to lead, to having the power to exert oneself, to contend and persist, even persevere, was and will be Haya, has been, continues to be, and will actually exist with ongoing implications on his shoulder and be predicated upon his eagerness in which he pursued his calling early in life, Al Shechem Hu, on his back, based upon a continued succession of events transpiring on his ridgeline. Wow. So I have done everything I can to shade and explain and elucidate mitzvah for you. Haya is the next verb, and with Haya, it's the basis of Yahweh's name. When Yahweh introduced himself to Moshe and therefore to us, it was Ihaya Asher Ihaya. I am who I am to bring the benefits of the relationship Haya, very essence of God's name. I exist. I was, I am, I always will be. Shechem is the Hebrew word for shoulder, but it also defines, a ridgeline. The ridgeline in this case would be Zion. It's the ridgeline that runs from the city of Dod and Dod's home up that ridgeline to Mount Moriah on in the center of Jerusalem. And it means also to be one who enjoys, who is eager to capitalize on what can be done early on. So on his shoulder, he carried our burdens. And it's not just that he carried our burdens into Sheol to deposit them there. He was beaten to a pulp by the Romans as he served as the Passover lamb. He bore our stripes, as Yeshayah, Isaiah explains. And his most magnificent psalms, Dodes, were written early in his life. My guess is that he is like me, likes to get up before the sun, which Shechem also addresses. Speaking of him, Yahweh said, his name, his reputation, and his renown has been read and recited. Before I even say what has been read and recited, for the nincompoops that comprise the Christian religion to claim this as their own, when it said that his name, reputation, and renown has been read and recited as, and they pretend it's Jebus. Why don't you find Jebus's name for me in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms? Why don't you find even a Hebrew version of Ayusu or anything related to him, any prophecy that actually speaks of this mythical misnomer that was the crude counterfeit of Dod? Why don't you find his name for me if in fact this pertains to him? When you know what name is mentioned more than any other man's, a name that is mentioned second most to God's name himself. Yahweh is mentioned the most often. Dod, second most. There's even the possibility when, you know, there are 7,000 mentions of Yahweh's name in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms when you consider all the books that comprise the current Tanakh. But the fact of the matter is there are books in the current Tanakh that don't belong. Ezekiel is a horrid fraud. The book of Job, another fraud. The book of, I think books of like Ecclesiastes would be a fraud. Many of them, when a lot of people put in the book of Enoch, it's another fraud. And so there are Jonah, another one. They just don't fit. They fail Yahweh's test. When you take all of them out, you probably go from 7,000 references to Yahweh's name to 6,000. And guess how many times Dod's name appears? 1,000. Yahweh's whole pattern is 6 plus 1 equals 7. Yahweh plus Dod is God's idea of perfection. Anyway, something to think about in that regard. His name and reputation and renown has been read and recited. Boy, can it ever be Kara, because, well, he left us a greater legacy of his lyrics than anyone in human history. He wrote the vast preponderance of the Mizmor Psalms and the overwhelming preponderance of the Mashal Proverbs. He is a wonderful counselor, providing valuable advice. This is Yoetz or Ya'atz, depending on how you want to pronounce the letters. So he is one who offers direction and thought-provoking guidance to deliberate. An analyst who proposes and relishes the purpose of the plan. A mentor who speaks out and urges those to listen and follow his guidance and thinking, because it is thoughtful, because it is reasonable, who is astoundingly brilliant and amazingly insightful. Pelé, who is marvelous, wonderful, distinguished, surpassing all others, set apart and separated, influential and fantastic, as well as prophetic. A valiant and heroic individual with a prominent military and political standing in the community, the most capable, competent, and courageous man, Gabor. A powerful person who prevails, a proven defender and a champion, confirming the influence and strengthening our appreciation of God. An eternal witness, providing restoring testimony. Ed, an observant and meticulous individual, offering everlasting evidence from long ago, sharing proof, which is reaffirming, an eyewitness back in time, conveying and memorializing information regarding the perpetual and continued existence of the Father, Ab, of the progenitor, the originator, the male caregiver, giver and provider. The leader who conveys the authorized position, Hashar, the ruler, who acts and delivers, who has the authority and power to prevail with regard to representing the official stance on Shalom, reconciliation and restoration leading to salvation. Regarding the blessings of restitution and redemption, of peace and prosperity, satisfaction and favoritism, association and friendship, regarding restored health and prosperity, safety and being complete, regarding lacking absolutely nothing, totally content in a relationship focused on companionship. Yashaya, Isaiah 9:6. We'll go on from there, but let's go back and I'll read this more fluently to you, and then we'll go back and consider all that God had to say about his beloved son, his Gabor. His name, reputation, and renown has been read and recited as a counselor providing valuable insight, who is astoundingly brilliant and amazingly insightful, a valiant and heroic individual with a prominent military and political standing in the community, the most capable, competent, and courageous man of God, an eternal witness providing restoring testimony for the Father, the leader who conveys the authorized position on reconciliation and restoration leading to salvation. The sentence goes on. But every word of that speaks of one man and of no other. Dod David. He is all of that. And more, as we will find out. The 89th Mizmor song, Yahweh's ode to his beloved son on our behalf, presenting Dod as the ultimate gift for us, sings this exact same song. It's just that it's that Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, Yashaya 9, 6, and 7 is the summation of it all. It's the encapsulation of it all. It is another crescendo on top of the crescendos of the 89th Mizmor. Yahweh tells Dod in the 89th Mizmor that his name, reputation, and renown will be greater than everyone who has ever lived, all the way to the extent he says that Dod will be Elyon, meaning he'll be equivalent to Almighty God. As the firstborn son of God, as the one who enabled the covenant that God so cherishes, as the returning king chosen by God, as the Messiah anointed by God, Yahweh is saying that he will be as God in my presence. This is Yahweh's goal for all of us. He wants all of us to accept the benefits of the covenant so that we're enriched and empowered and enabled so that we blossom and grow exponentially from being three-dimensional beings stuck in the ordinary flow of the fourth dimension time to being infinitely enriched and empowered and enlarged and emancipated through the fourth, fifth, sixth, and into the seventh dimension, where we are elevated to the point where we become sons and daughters of God and therefore are as God in his presence. It is what the Father wants of his sons and daughters. And with Dode, it was to the first degree and the most extreme degree. His name and reputation has been read and recited as a counselor providing valuable advice. That's really the essence of the Mashal, the Proverbs. They're very simply written, where Dode, as the Son of God, is speaking about his Father and his relationship with him, such that he is providing sage advice that we can capitalize on and very easily apply to our lives. It's all written in with word pictures, very simple drawings that help convey powerful truths. Who is astoundingly brilliant and amazingly insightful. You read Dode's songs and you recognize that God chose him in part because he was brilliant. His processor, his mind, not only raced at speeds that we can hardly imagine, but because he was focused on what matters and because he had good judgment and the right perspective, that processor produced some of the most magnificent songs and psalms ever written. He was brilliant. He was so brilliant without all of the other prophets, just with the Torah and the book of Yosha, maybe also Shaphat Judges, and the insights that had been shared with him by Shamuel, the last of the Shaphat Judges, and a profoundly important prophet, as well as by the prophet Nathan, who was a conduit between Dode and Yahweh later in Dode's life. Then he put it all together, just that information. He was able to deduce that he should be the son who was given. And he volunteered to serve as the Passover lamb. And not only volunteered to serve as the Passover lamb, he would write prolifically about it. He is the son who was given. He is the one who is astoundingly brilliant and amazingly insightful. But more than anything, and this is one of the reasons why Jews could not accept Jesus as a replacement Messiah, because they knew the Messiah was bold and powerful and courageous, that he was a mighty defender of his people. It doesn't fit Jebus, but it certainly fits Dode. And rather than saying, you know, no, you got it wrong, Jebus can't be the Messiah, what the Jews failed to do is to say, because Dode is the Messiah, because Dode is the Son of God, because Dode is the Gabor. In fact, one of Dode's most important titles is Gabor El, the most courageous and competent man of God. Perhaps you've heard of him, Gabriel. It was as Gabor El, the most competent and courageous man of God, that Dode himself, as a man, appeared to Daniel and delivered that magnificent prophecy that unlocked the mystery of time and told us the exact day that he would arrive to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, well over six centuries before it happened. And told us everything we needed to know about what he would accomplish as a result of doing so, and then what would transpire now as I'm trying to reacquaint you with Dode before the last 7 years play out, and you witness the conclusion of his prophecy. Dod is Gaborel. He is God's most competent and courageous of men. And Gabor is a man. So he is the most courageous man of God. Yeah, the Twistian renditions of this would say he's Almighty God. That is not what it says. Gabor doesn't mean Almighty, and it's in the wrong order. You know, you'd have to present it the opposite of the way that it appears in the Hebrew text, and then completely misrepresent what Gabor means, because Gabor is a man. So, you know, if you knew what you were doing, you'd say it'd be a man God. Well, I guess that's what Christians tried to turn their Jesus into. But no, what it says is that he will be the most competent, the most courageous, the most prominent, both politically and militarily, in the defense of his people. Man of God, the one who prevails, the proven defender and champion of his people on behalf of God. And he is an Ed. There are a number of Ed in Yahweh's story. Moshe was a person who revealed God's everlasting testimony and was therefore a restoring witness. So was Dod. So am I. It's one of the titles that belongs to us because we are reintroducing God's people to the nature and the meaning and the purpose, the actionable aspects of his eternal testimony, because his eternal testimony provides a restoring witness, and that's what God's people need at this time. So he is an eternal witness providing restoring testimony for the Father, on behalf of his Father, the one person that God said, excuse me, I am his Father, he is my Son, is Dod. And he's doing this on behalf of his Father. He is the leader who conveys the authorized position, Ha-Shar. It's interesting that God will refer to the role that I'm playing as the Shar of Dod. I work for him. He's the boss. I'm, you know, the guy that carries out his instructions. Well, Dod was the Shar of Yahweh. Yahweh is the ultimate sovereign of the universe, and he appointed Dod to be Melech underneath him. And so, just as Dod is the Shar of Yahweh, the greater of the of all luminaries, I serve as the Shar of Dod, as the lesser luminary. This is the relationship that God has established. And what is he, the leader who conveys the authorized position on Shalom? Reconciliation and restoration, leading to salvation, yes. He not only wrote about how this would occur, he volunteered to make it possible, and then he fulfilled and honored his promise. Pesach, Matzah, Makodim. Tremendously, this now continues. This is the beginning now, Yeshaya 9:7, same sentence. This is about the son who was given. Tremendously increasing, Rob, the ability to learn about and respond to lam, a Hebrew word for to teach, to learn, to teach, providing information and imparting the instruction learned as a student, teaching how to become familiar with the guidance needed to accept by diligently studying and then explaining the pattern and the plan. As a student eager to learn, who is taught by another, having received clear and compelling revelations, so as to be prepared to intelligently convey what he has learned. It is contracted from lamad, to teach and learn, gaining information through instruction and then responding appropriately to teach. The means to engage and endure, to be liberated and empowered. This is Mitzera again. Hamitzera. The means to choose and understand by questioning the who, what, why, where, when, and how of that which pertains to persisting and persevering, of being set free and being empowered. It's a compound again of my to probe and to question Sarah, the means to engage and endure, to contend and be liberated, to be empowered, as is the true meaning of Yisrael. As a result of this approach, voila, reconciliation and restoration, complete satisfaction and total contentment, shalom, the blessings of an entirely favorable circumstance leading to overwhelming prosperity, friendship, affection, tranquility, companionship, safety, salvation from harm's way, as well as deliverance, resulting in a free, healthy, and satisfying relationship, shalom, will be without end, ein kutz, will never cease or be negated, unbounded and limitless without constraint forevermore. Upon the throne, before the seat of honor and in association with the high status of, can you answer that question? Do you know the answer to the question? If you know the answer to the question, you could capitalize on all of this. On the throne, the seat of honor, and the incredibly high status of Dod. Dod, 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 Dod. And corrupted to David, Yahweh's beloved. How in the world did Christians have the audacity to rob God's son of this beautiful prophecy regarding what he would do and what he means to us when Dod's name is in the middle of it? Do they think their God is so stupid that he doesn't know one name for another? That he's having a senior moment, that he's playing Joe Biden and can't put three words together without tripping on his tongue? How would they demean God to the point that they would have him demean his own beloved son in this way? It's repulsive. The fact that this prophecy has been misappropriated and part of Christian songs. It's the second most important prophecy to be misappropriated to try to validate the myth of this crude counterfeit. And yet, God's own people don't proclaim it. Why would I have to be the first person in 2,700 years to explain it to you? And this is not some little simple classroom lesson. The message here is the most profound message ever uttered by God. All of these things await us if we just embrace what Father and Son have done for us. Yes, I'm both agitated and excited. I care deeply for Yahweh. I appreciate his great love for his son, Dod. And more important than all of that, I know what they achieved together, what they're offering as a gift to every covenant member and to all of Yisrael. And I know that Yisrael spit in their face, erased Yahweh's name, completely negated every accolade that Yahweh has offered Dod. They deny he's the Son of God. They deny that he is the gift that is given. They deny his status as the Messiah. He deny that he is the one who brought reconciliation from God. All of it. To imagine doing all of this and making this sacrifice for your people and to have your people thumb their nose at you. So if that doesn't make you emotional, if it doesn't go to your very core where you want to pour it out and say, wake up. You don't have much time left. Look what your people have done for the last 3,000 years and look what it's cost you And look where you are now with the whole world turning against you, all because you did this. You wrote Dode out of the prophecy. Well, it's time to put him back in. Upon the throne, the high status, the dignified position, and the royal authority of Dode, as well as upon his kingdom, through his considered advice and counsel, as a result of his sovereign authority. Do you know that it's Dode who is coming back, not only as the Messiah, but the King of the universe? Are you prepared to accept Dode as your eternal king? God's established it as such, so as to be prepared and established by it. Lakun eth he, authenticated and authorized by it, to become steadfast, ready, and supported through it, deciding and concluding to approach regarding this, and to be restored and sustained by it. Wala sa'adhu, to be renewed and upheld by it, to be strengthened and supported by it, to make us safe and secure, refreshing us in the most favorable and nourishing way, with the means to exercise good judgment and to justly resolve disputes. Ba Mishvat, a compound of my, to ponder the implications of Shapat. Shapat means to decide, to make good decisions, to exercise good judgment, to resolve disputes in a favorable way, which Dode did by fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, which he will do again when he returns on the Day of Reconciliations and anoints the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. By being right, Sadaka, being correct, fair and just, acquitting and vindicating, honest with us right now and forever, enabling us to validate what he has said. The one man that Yahweh goes out of his way to say over and over again that his Sadak is Dode. In fact, when we return to solving puzzles and the third episode of it, we have Yashaya also saying in the, I think it's the 25th chapter, Yisrael, now is the time to open your doors to your home and let the Goy who is Sadak in, because he's right about Yahweh, because he's right about Dode, because he's right about you, and you need to hear this message. You need to be open to it. You need to receive it. And I fully recognize that those who are listening, who have opened their door, who have invited me into their home to speak about Yahweh and Dode, have already done this right thing. But it is Dode who was first and foremost Sadak, right with God, from then to now and forevermore. The deep devotion and passion of Yahweh, of the vast array of spiritual implements, has consistently engaged to make this happen. Yashaya, Isaiah 9:7. I'm going to read through it more fluently for you. It's hard for me to even share this with you. My eyes well up with tears. This heartfelt, incredibly cerebral prophecy from Yahweh through Yashaya has not resonated with God's people, not in 2,700 years. And so I do want to read the conclusion of it to you again so that you have a better appreciation of what God has said to us. For indeed, a child was born before us. A son was provided as a gift and placed concerning us. The opportunity to learn what can be known about how to engage and endure, in addition to the responsibility and the authority to lead, was and will always be on his shoulder, predicated upon his eagerness in which he pursued his calling early in life. His name, his reputation, and renown has been read and recited as a counselor, providing advice, who is astoundingly brilliant, amazingly insightful, a valiant and heroic individual with prominent military and political standing in the community, the most capable, competent, and courageous of men. A champion confirming the influence of God, an eternal witness providing restoring testimony for the Father, the leader who conveys the authorized position on reconciliation and restoration leading to salvation, tremendously increasing the ability to learn about and to respond to the means to engage and endure, to be liberated, to be empowered. As a result of this approach, reconciliation, restoration, complete satisfaction, and total contentment will be without end upon the throne in association with the high status of Dode, as well as upon his kingdom and through his considered advice and counsel, so as to be prepared and to be established by it, and to be restored and sustained by it, with the means to exercise good judgment and justly resolve all disputes by being right, by being correct and just. From this point now and forevermore. It is the deep devotion and the passion of Yahweh, of the vast array of spiritual implements, who has consistently engaged to make this possible. Yashaya, Isaiah 9:7. I am Craig Wynn, the herald of my King Dode, the voice of Yahweh at this time, the final Zeroah cultivating the harvest, and the Bashar, the Nakri, the observant foreigner, calling you back home. Please listen.